Ever feel like you're just kind of, I don't know, skimming the surface of history? Like, what if we could actually, hop in a time machine and walk in our ancestors' shoes? That's what we're doing today. We're diving deep into the Farndale family, specifically their story, their connection to the Kilton estate.
And what's amazing is just how long they were there, over 2 centuries. Really shows how deeply rooted they became in that one specific place. Can you imagine the changes they must have seen?
It's mind-boggling when you think about it. Generations, right, unfolding against like the backdrop of Kilton. And the source material we have is wild. It's organized almost like a play with acts and scenes. But we were focusing on the farmers of Kilton's storyline, like a window into their world.
A world that was definitely changing around them. Yeah, it wasn't just working the land. Their story really reflects these huge shifts happening in society as we move through the 1700s and 1800s.
Okay, so picture this, right? It's around 1705. And the Farndales show up in Kilton, fresh from Cleveland. Now, why the move? We can only speculate, but it's got to be new opportunities, right? Like a fresh start.
Sure.
And the head honcho, John Farndale, born in 1680, this is the guy, the OG,
Right.
whose family, his descendants, they're still around today.
Wow. Talk about a legacy, right? And their lives were so intertwined with Kilton, the land, the community. We see records from Broughton Church, which served Kilton, placing them right there in the thick of it all.
I love those little details. It's like their story is literally a part of the fabric of the area's history. Okay, so let's jump ahead a bit. John's son, William, born in 1708. Now, there might be a link here back to the Craggs line of Farndales, but well, that's a tale for another deep dive. What's interesting about William is his sons, talk about career paths, right?
Yeah, diversifying. It was becoming pretty key even back then. Shows the family wasn't afraid to branch out.
Totally. You've got Samuel, a cabinet maker, imagine that craftsmanship. And then there's William, a mariner, sailing the open seas. Talk about different strokes, right? Like, but wait, hold on, because it gets, well, even more interesting. John Farndale, affectionately known as Old Farndale of Kilton, this guy was a character. And by character, I mean allegedly a smuggler.
Those weren't just colorful stories, though. Smuggling was dangerous, sure, but often, like, a necessary part of life back then,
Oh, absolutely.
It shows how resourceful people like Old Farndale were,
For sure.
operating in a world that didn't always offer a lot of, economic opportunities.
And probably makes for some, let's say, interesting family stories.
Oh, you bet.
Who doesn't love a good smuggling ancestor,
Bet.
right? Okay, fast forward with me to the early 1800s. Enter another William Farndale, born in 1760. This one, though, known as the merchant farmer.
Okay.
Now, this William, this guy was a go-getter. He even went ahead and replaced the old Kilton Lodge with a brand new house. This William, he lived during a really, I mean, a pivotal time, the Industrial Revolution, right? Transforming society. And even in a place like Kilton, a rural community, you'd feel those changes happening.
Oh, for sure.
And he was right there in the middle of it all. Imagine those Kilton rent days, bustling,
Oh, my bet.
William right in the thick of it. And it wasn't just about business, it was social, a chance for the entire community to come together.
Totally. It was a totally different world back then. A front row seat to all that change must have been something. And speaking of change, William's sons, right? Yeah, they definitely got that Farndale spirit, forging their own paths.
It's in the blood.
One son, George, became known as the, get this, prodigal son.
Oh boy.
Now that is a story for the ages.
Yeah, it usually is, right? That whole prodigal son thing
Right.
always makes you wonder, like, what's the story there?
Yeah.
A little rebellion, maybe some family drama.
Oh, yeah.
But before we get to George and his story, let's rewind just a bit back to William's will.
Because even with that prodigal label, William, he still made sure George was taken care of.
Really? Wow. So even with that, like, I guess that speaks to the family bond there, even when things are maybe a little strained.
Absolutely. He left instructions with his other sons to, look after George. Family first, even amidst the ups and downs, right? And that's something we see again and again with the Farndales. Okay, so let's talk about Martin Farndale, born in 1798. He's the one who ends up running the Kilton farm. And let me tell you, it wasn't always easy.
I bet running a farm never is it? What kind of challenges did he have to deal with?
Well, imagine dealing with poaching on your land. And I don't mean just, kids swiping apples. This was serious business back then, impacting their livelihood and all. Plus, you've got this whole changing agricultural landscape, new technologies popping up, new ways of doing things.
Oh, I bet.
Martin had to adapt and quickly.
That's a lot of pressure. It's easy to, you know, romanticize the past, but I'm sure those were some tough times to be a farmer.
For sure.
What about his siblings? Did they stick around Kilton?
Well, that's the thing about family, right?
Right.
It's never a straight line. Some of Martin's siblings, they had their own struggles. Reminds us that even in a close family, you know, everyone's path is different.
Right.
It's those individual journeys that really make the Farndale story so interesting.
It's like their story becomes this like microcosm, you know?
Yeah.
The human experience, triumph, hardship, resilience, all happening like with this backdrop of a changing world.
Exactly.
So we've got Martin holding down the fort at Kilton. Who comes after him?
That would be Charles Farndale, born in 1838. He inherits the farm from his uncle Martin, who didn't have any kids.
Okay.
And his story, Charles's story, it really marks a bit of a turning point for the family.
Oh, how so?
Well, think about it. Up until this point, most of the Farndales, even with their differences, they mostly stuck close to Kilton. But Charles's kids, they ended up all over the place. England, the Crimean War battlefields, even the wilds of Ontario, Canada. It's like the Farndale family tree. Wow. Suddenly just branched out in every direction.
Wow. Almost like the world was opening up and, I don't know, they just got swept up in it, you know?
Yeah.
Each finding their own way.
Exactly. It was a time of huge change.
Uh-huh.
And the Farndales, they were right there, caught in the middle of it. But even with all that change, all that moving around, there was one son who stayed put in Kilton.
Okay.
George, the last Farndale to actually farm the land.
Now, you mentioned he never married, so he just dedicated his whole life to the farm.
Seems like it. Almost like he was the last one holding on to a way of life that was fading away.
Wow.
Holding on to the land, the traditions, as the world around him kept changing.
I can't even imagine that weight, you know? That feeling of being the last one, the end of a line that goes back generations.
And in 1940, after decades, he finally made the decision to sell the stock.
Wow.
It really marked the end of an era.
Yeah.
And not just for the Farndales, for Kilton itself.
It's kind of sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
All that history, generations tied to this one place,
right.
And then poof, gone.
It is a poignant story, but it didn't, you know, completely end with the sale of the farm. Remember that Wesleyan tribute we talked about?
Yeah.
They described George, the last farmer, as like a pillar of the local church.
Oh, right. So even after they weren't, you know, literally working the land, they were still super involved in the community.
Exactly. And his sister, Grace, she was a big deal in the community, too.
Really?
Seems like even without that direct connection to the farm, the Farndales, they were still a part of Kilton.
It's like their roots ran deep. You know?
Definitely.
That's family legacy for you. Okay, yeah. But I gotta ask, what about that other George, the prodigal son George? We left him, like, way back in the early 1800s doing his own thing.
Oh, yeah. Remember how we talked about Charles's kids? They all went their separate ways? Well, George, the prodigal, he and his descendants were way ahead of the game. They'd already branched out. Bishop Auckland, Cotham. We even found records of some of them working in the mines.
Talk about a family embracing change, right? It's like they had, I don't know, this pioneering spirit.
And facing some hard times along the way, too. We found the story of Mary Ann Farndale and her adopted daughter, Nora.
Okay.
Nora actually remembered visiting Craggs Hall Farm.
I'm kidding.
Which, if you recall, might link back to that Craggs line of Farndales.
Wow. Talk about a blast from the past.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you wonder how many other stories are still out there, right? Just waiting to be discovered.
Exactly. And then there's, well, Albert, the architect.
Okay.
His story takes a bit of a, well, a sadder turn.
No.
Picture this. The Industrial Revolution in full swing, right? Cities are booming. And Albert, he's right there in the thick of it, designing the future.
Wow. That's pretty incredible when you think about it.
It is. But it seems like, I don't know, he felt the pressure of those ambitions.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Because, sadly, his story ends way too soon.
That's a good point. Progress, you know, it's not always a straight line upwards, is it? Sometimes there are, well, bumps along the way.
That's life, right. And that's history, too. And I think the Farndale story really, it shows us that the resilience, you know, adapting to all that change, those family ties that just, they hold strong through it all.
It really makes you think about your own family. Doesn't it?
Absolutely. The choices they made, the things they went through.
We're all shaped by our past, even if we don't, you know, always see it. It's like we're all part of something so much bigger than ourselves.
That's a great way to put it. And it reminds us that history, it's not just, you know, dates and names in some textbook. It's about people. People like you and me.
living, breathing, struggling, you know.
Exactly.
Their lives shaped by, well, by everything, big events and small moments. It's all connected.
It is.
So to everyone listening, do yourselves a favor, ask those questions, dig into your own family history. You never know what you might find.